Let's stand together, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." In other words, God wants us all that preaching the gospel there is not just a preacher preaching or a pastor preaching or an evangelist preaching. It is Christians proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we can do it willingly, like you did yesterday, and receive a reward. The Bible says even if it's against our will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. The distribution of the gospel has been committed to our trust. So even at times where we don't maybe feel like getting into that conversation with someone, God has entrusted us with spreading the good news of the gospel of salvation. What is my reward then? Verse 18, "Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And friend, listen, if you're saved, born again, you're on your way to heaven. No matter what else you do, you're on your way to heaven. We're not earning our way to heaven. Our way was earned through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For us then to tell others about Jesus, we're making ourselves a servant to them. I understand that a couple of folks, I believe it was Shelby Anderson, I don't know if it was her mother, who it was, Sarah, you're telling me that story. I think they knocked on a door the other day and somebody pulled a gun on them. And they just didn't know who they were. But folks, listen, when I knock on folks' door and try to give them a gospel tract, I don't know how they're going to treat me. And sometimes they don't treat you nice. And sometimes you could walk up and talk about the Cowboys and they talk to you all day. But because you talk about something spiritual, their fight's not with you, it's with God. Their issue's not with us, it's with God. But the Bible says there, we're free from all men. But we make ourselves servants to those who are lost without Christ because we want to do the best we can to at least give them a fighting chance to stay out of hell. "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." In other words, you ought to be able to talk to anyone. It doesn't matter if they're a rich man or a poor man. It doesn't matter if they're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if they're educated or uneducated. Just become all things to all men and talk to folks about Jesus. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men," here's the purpose, "that I might by all means save some." Now I want to preach today on loving what Jesus loves. Loving what Jesus loves. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message today? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you meet with us and help us. And God, I pray that you'll stir hearts and help us to love what you love. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not certain that if they died today that they'd go to heaven, I pray that they would realize that you love them and you want them to be saved and you want them to spend eternity in heaven with you and with us. And so, Lord, I pray today you'll stir their heart and I pray they'd be willing to accept Christ as Savior before they leave here today. Help Christians today to be stirred and changed, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If I were to hand you a piece of paper and a pen on this Thanksgiving week and ask you what you're grateful for and ask you to write down, hey, what are some things or some people that you love? Well, hopefully you'd say, well, I love God. I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hopefully, if you're married, you would say, I love my spouse. You would say, I love my kids. You old people in here would say, I love my grandkids. And maybe even some of you have some great grandkids, but you would say certainly that you love them. And then maybe you would begin to talk about some hobby that you have. Some of you love to shop. Some of you live for Black Friday week. Some of you love planning to get run over by 300 people in search of the same video game. I'll never forget, and for a few years now, I have actually gone with my wife a little bit, because I'm a good husband and don't like to get yelled at, so I have gone. Well, a few years ago, I went for my first time, and I was trying to find something, I think, specific, and that's kind of how I got suckered into it, and we're in Walmart and Terrell, and all those folks are just waiting to tackle one another, and I was wearing some brown Dockers and a dark blue polo shirt, collared shirt. And at that time I got there and stood in line for about 30 minutes, I realized every employee in Walmart that night had on brown Dockers and a dark blue polo shirt. That was a bad choice all night long. Sir, where is this? Sir, where can I find that? I had some fun with it, and I actually made it pay off at the end because some of our ladies had buggies and the lines were backed up, and I noticed a new lane had opened up, and I said, excuse me, folks, excuse me, and I waved some of our ladies up to the line, and I was getting some payback for answering all those questions. So I've been there, done that. I'll probably do it a little bit this week. But I am not a fan of shopping. Some of you are a fan of shopping, and your husbands are hating this week because they're thinking, man, we ain't going to be able to pay the mortgage when she's done. Some of you would say, well, I like to hunt, and not just the men in here like to hunt. There's some ladies in here that like to hunt also, and some people like Brother Joe that like to truck hunt, but the rest of us like to do it the fair way and not run over the deer, but we enjoy hunting. And some of you maybe like to decorate. Some of you would say, well, I enjoy Facebook. Well, you don't have to tell us who enjoys that. Just wait till the invitation's given and the last amen's given, and I promise you, five ladies in our church to night, by the time someone says amen, they'll have their phone in their hand having to see what in the world they missed over that hour and a half time. But maybe social media is what you love. Some of you would say, well, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know why, but you got old faithful fans like Brent Orms that just stick with them through thin and thin, and they love the Cowboys. I love college football, and I guess I stick with the Aggies through thin and thin, but I college football is more pure to me still, and I enjoy college football. Some of you, God help your soul, some of you like Christmas movies. What a waste of a life. Can I just help you? Can I stop you from having to watch 20 movies over the next month? Here's what's going to happen. The old queen hates life. She hates Christmas. She hates everybody. Her son is going to be king one day. He's a prince. He falls in love with a little girl in the Bronx that sells shoes at the shoe store. He invites her over, and then the butler comes in and sneaks decorations in, and they decorate a tree, and then the queen finds out, and she's mad, but then the butler says, woman, be quiet. Don't you know you've always been in love with me? And then the butler and the queen, they hook up. They start dating, and then the next thing you know, the queen, she likes Christmas. She's putting the star on the tree, and then everybody's happy. Fala la la la. It's the same plot in every movie. I have this debate with my daughter. Can we please put it back on the Weather Channel? I need to know what's going on. Some of you, that's you. Christmas movies. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. If they played It's a Wonderful Life every day, I'd probably watch it. I tear up every time. Those of us who are underappreciated in life, we tear up whenever when the fellow wants to just jump off the bridge. Now we all have a list of things that we would say, you know, we love. If I ask the teenagers in there, what kind of food you love, man, we go on forever hearing about pizza and chicken McNuggets and so forth, and the list would go on and on. But it's quite clear in the Bible, it's quite clear what Jesus loves. If you go from Genesis to Revelation, you never really, I don't think you hear the Lord ever say something about his favorite football team. I don't believe he ever mentions hunting, although God in his word mentions hunting several times and says we ought to teach folks the use of the bow, made several references to hunting for some of you PETA people, but I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ ever sat on a deer stand. He never mentions mowing his yard. I like to keep a clean yard the best I can with the neighbor's dogs, but I like to keep a clean yard with the time that I have. He never mentions how well he likes to manicure his yard. He never mentions how nice he likes to keep his nice, new, clean truck. But it's very obvious from Scripture what Jesus loves. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love, or clearly displayed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It's quite clear in the Bible what God loves, or who God loves. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. It's obvious what God loves. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive or understand we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then one more verse, 1 John 4 and verse 19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. Friend, it's very clear from Scripture that what God loves is people. And he loves people getting reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loves people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He loves you, and he loves me, and he loves Wills Point, Texas, and he loves Van Zandt County, and he loves this state, and he loves this nation. And again, the Bible says he loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we as Christians ought to have a desire to love what Jesus loves. Instead, too many of us are ignoring what God loves so that we may focus on what we love. Turn to 1 John chapter 1 with me, if you would please, towards the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter number 1. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy going on trips. I'm 7 weeks, I think, now from going on a cruise. Man, I'm ready to get on that. Nothing like getting, some of you been on, nothing like getting on a boat and just saying goodbye. And no cell phone reception. And if you die while I'm gone, they just got to freeze you till I get back, because they can't even get a hold of me out on the boat. Man, I enjoy that. I love going to Northwest Arkansas, where Grandma lives, and lots of friends and family up there. I love, it's like my favorite place in the world to go. I like to travel. I love to hunt. I only hunted one time this week for a couple of hours. I think it was Monday evening, and didn't have time the rest of the week. But I love to hunt, and I love to bow hunt. I'm no good at it, but I love to pretend, and I love to bow hunt. But friend, listen, nothing wrong with having some things that we like and some things that we love, but nothing should replace our love for God, and nothing should take the place of what Jesus loves. We're to be Christ-like. We're Christian, and we need to know what it is that God loves. He loves people getting saved. But here's what gets in the way. The bow hunting. Here's what gets in the way. The cowboys. Here's what gets in the way. The grandkids. Here's what gets in the way. Well, let's look at it. 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And friend, listen, we ought to love what Jesus loves. But the three areas I just mentioned, they diminish our commitment to the things of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is to do. I enjoy doing.
I enjoy traveling. I enjoy hunting. I enjoy working around my yard. I enjoy those kind of things. I'm an organizer. I could spend all of my time organizing my truck or organizing my storage building. It's never what I want it to be, but I enjoy doing those things. But friend, listen, we're in trouble when things that we do in life take the place of what we ought to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
But there are many today that are in love with the lust of the flesh. Then there are those today that are in love with the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is to have. That's why they have the television commercials and you've got to buy this car now and this appliance is on sale now and then we drive down the road and there's a billboard and it's to have and to have and to have. And if we're not careful, we'll be so busy getting. We'll be so busy because we want to have more and we want to do more. I think about the hunting business because I am a hunter and my dad was and my grandfather was and we boys are, and my kids are, and my daughter doesn't want to freeze anymore, but if we can get a good 95 degree day, she's going to sit in the deer stand with me. But she shot a doe and she shot a turkey and I think Joshua maybe shot more turkeys than his dad now. I don't know. I'm just humble and I let them kill all the animals, but I like that. Friend, listen, Miss Audie bought me a hunting bow back in, I think, 2008. I've had the same one for 10 or 11 years. But I pay attention to the hunting business, and there are guys that every year have to have the new bow. Why you got to have the new bow? It works the same. Get it restrung. I've got the same rifle I've had for years. And it, you know what I'm saying? But there are many today they have to have. They have to have. You say, I just don't relate. Okay, let me relate you. They have to have every newest phone. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm about ready to go back to the flip phone. I'm about go back to the phone where you can't get email, you can't get internet. If you need me, call me. We got the smartphone and now everybody thinks it's smart to text the pastor at 11:45 at night. Oh yeah, pastor, where's this? What? My brother texted me at midnight Friday night. My little brother, he's like, oh, dude, we're at midnight yell practice in College Station. I said, man, you just woke me up. I need my beauty rest. Y'all thought I've had plenty of it. I know, but I haven't. But there's a crowd today so busy. Gotta have, gotta have, gotta have. The newest and the latest and greatest and the best and the this and the that. And God says, you don't need that. You need to get busy serving me. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then there's the pride of life, where the lust of the flesh is to do. We just want to do things. We want to go places. Hey, listen, I believe God blesses His people. I believe God blesses His people. Brother Wido was telling a story yesterday morning about going to a conference somewhere and a fellow he had known for years. I think he taught the guy in Bible college and the guy was successful in business. And he said, we were sitting at a restaurant and the guy passes some keys to me a couple years ago to a brand new 2017 King Ranch F-150 truck. Man, listen, God did that. Just trying to drop hints if anybody wants to. I know I've been pastor around here for too long. I know what y'all keys, y'all be throwing me to the Pinto out there. And they're here, pastor, God led us to the. It ain't working, but I guarantee you it'll be a blessing. You know, I know. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We're so busy doing today and we're so busy getting and collecting and hoarding and we're so busy becoming what we want. We never even consider what does God want. I'm just saying as Christians, we need to get back to loving what Jesus loves. Jobs are great and you ought to give it your best and you ought to be the best employee. Hobbies are great and they give us a break from the norm and thank the Lord for the hobbies that we can have. Kids are wonderful and I'm sure grandkids are even grander because they go home after a while and they don't eat all your Doritos. But grandkids are great. But all of that's great when it's kept in balance. But God wants us to love what He loves. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, back at our text there, Paul had a desire and he dedicated himself to loving what Jesus loved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 and there in verse number 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We've got to get our heart in tune with God and get back to primarily loving what He loves. Do you know what happens when Christians begin to love what Jesus loves again? Remember the missionary on Wednesday night, Brother Lunday, doing a great job and was reached for Christ by a gospel tract? That should have encouraged everyone in here that was here on Wednesday night. One of the best missionaries out there. You know what happens when more of Trinity Baptist Church starts loving what Jesus loves? More missionaries get sent to the field. It's been a year or two since I've taken on new missionaries, and we support a lot. We have 80 different missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, and we have a budget of over $5,000 that goes out each month to the mission field, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of our church, and I'm proud of what God does through our church, but I know good enough and well enough there are many church members not giving a dime to missions. Hey, when we start loving what Jesus loves again, instead of trying to be expert at that video game, young men start getting called to preach. When we start loving what Jesus loves again, rather than the paycheck and the vehicle and the cell phone and the traveling, hey, when we start loving what Jesus loves again, young men go to Bible college and do God's will for their life. When we start doing what God, the reason I had to leave A&M back in 96, back in the spring of in the summer of 96. And some of you may have heard the Aggie Bonfire fail. It was 19 years ago today. It also fell while I was there. They just caught it in enough time to get everyone off of it. Apparently Aggies can't build bonfires. But in all seriousness, man, that could have been me laying up there on that stack. And 12 people died. I'll never forget that. We were living in Arkansas at the time, and I woke up and saw that on CNN. Friend, listen, the reason I had to leave school before I graduated school is because I felt like if I complete this school, I may turn my back on the will of God, start making a paycheck, and never look back. And friend, I don't care if I made $100,000 a year and lived in a nice brick house and drove all the best vehicles. I'd be miserable if I was not in the will of God for my life. And every young man in here, teenagers, listen to me, one day you're going to get married. I said, one day you guys are... No, one day you guys, God's got a young lady for you. You're going to get married one day. Most likely you're going to get married. Man, that's scary. And guess what, daddy? Guess what, husband? Guess what, young man? You're going to be responsible for having your family in the will of God. It's not going to be your wife's responsibility. It's not going to be your kids' responsibility. It's going to be your responsibility to make sure my family is right square in the middle of the will of God. And that'll happen when you start loving what Jesus loves. And yes, maybe love some video games. Maybe love hanging out with the guys. Maybe love chasing the girls. Maybe love playing a video game or going hunting. But you better stay in love with what Jesus loves, which is people getting saved. Hey, when we love what Jesus loves, bus ministry gets filled with workers. You say, how many bus routes can we have? As many as we have people that are willing to go out. These guys, some of these guys had begged me for years, preacher, can we start a bus route in Terrell? Can we start a bus route in Terrell? I said, we've got to have the workers, and we've got to have the right people, and we need to build what we have here first. But friend, listen, a bus could go to Terrell, a bus could go to Canton, a bus could go to Edgewood and Fruitvale. And there's some heathen that go to school out in Fruitvale, amen, Brother Devin. But it's only a matter of people saying, you know what? Amen. Great, I work. Great, I like to hunt. Great, I like the shop. All right, I like those stupid Christmas movies that have the same plot. But primarily, I want to do something for God. As we get ready to end this year and look forward to the new year, why don't you just decide? Man, I got to get busy doing something that has something to do, something of eternal value. When we love what Jesus loves, nursing home ministries get fully staffed. When we love what Jesus loves, jail ministries get started. When we love what Jesus loves, Sunday school classes get taught. Soul winning gets attended. Children's churches have workers. Visitors get brought to church. Co-workers get witnessed to. Families get won to Christ. Souls get saved. Baptistry waters get stirred. Churches begin to grow. Pastors get excited. And God gets the glory when God's people start loving what Jesus loves. You say, okay, preacher, how can I get back to loving what Jesus loves? Very, very simple. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. You say, preacher, I'm already busy, and I don't say it privately, but I'm busy and I'm doing what I believe God wants, and I've got a ministry. Then I would encourage you to be back tonight, because tonight I'm going to take 1 Corinthians 9 and preach on how to keep on keeping on for Christ. Preacher, how can I get back to loving what Jesus loves? The Bible says in Matthew 6, look at verse number 21. You've heard this passage. All we need is the one verse. Verse 21. Look at it there. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you all see that? Here's what we think when we read that. Our mind says, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Listen to the crowd that starts not loving the church that they once loved. It's the crowd that never shows up to church. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, just for sake of an object lesson, I guess, as the young people do on the buses, where your treasure is. Because we think, well, if my heart's in it, I'll give to that and I'll give to that. No, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's say that Bible is my treasure. By the way, your Bible ought to be a treasure in your life. Shouldn't be thrown around and kept in a hot car or a freezing car. It ought to be kept by your bed and take care of that thing. And some of you have Bible covers, and that's great. That's wonderful. But let's say that Bible, that's my treasure, okay? I'm going to leave that right there. Now, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is my heart over here, or is my heart over there? Where's the treasure? Point to it. Okay? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is my heart right here or my heart there? Point where my heart is right now. Okay? All right. Now, if I go out every day, every morning, every night, sit in a deer stand, never get involved in a bus route, never get involved in a nursing home, never go to soul winning, rarely go to church, don't go to Sunday school, don't read my Bible, don't pray, don't tithe, don't give to missions, guess where my heart's going to be? In the deer stand. Guess what I'm going to start saying? I just don't love church like I used to. I just don't get much out of it. Duh. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, let me give you three things quickly here. We know that what God loves is sinners getting saved, right? And I would say every Christian in here loves that, don't you? I mean, there are a few of you that if the invitation is extended, you get mad. And you can take this as critical if you want to. I think you got a salvation problem. I think you got a serious, serious issue with whether or not you ever truly been born again. Because I get tired. I can stand there and talk for 30 minutes, but you let a pastor talk for 3 minutes before we sit down when he's reading the scripture. I've done it. I'm going, man, my knees are... I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the devil or what. Friend, when the Aggies go to overtime, I'm glued to the TV. But we go to church and things go to overtime. Oh, dear God. I don't have to burn in hell, but I guess I got to give God 10 more minutes. Because that person up there decided, oh, last minute, I'm going to go ahead and get saved from the fires of hell. We were changing the battery in that clock at some point last week. Because it was time change, we let it go a week before we changed. I was up there, Brother Richard was there, holding the ladder for me. Had to trust my brother-in-law. And I said, man, you know what, there's some in Sunday morning, we should let them change that clock. They look at it more than we do. I'm just saying, if you're saved, I have a lot of things I enjoy doing, a lot of things I love doing. But we ought to get back to loving what Jesus loves. How do you do that? Number one, it's that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, okay? Where it is, my heart's going to be in it. Number one, give to it. Give to it. We had a missionary Wednesday night. Shows a presentation. The presentations and the prayer letters, they mean a lot more when you know that you're invested in the missionary. When the buses roll in on Sunday morning and they pull up there and the bus driver hits those brakes, those air brakes, and those kids begin to pour off of there, that, it means a lot more to you when you know that you're investing money into the bus ministry. Sunday school teacher, bus church worker, it would have meant a lot more to you this morning. It did mean a lot more to you this morning if you spent time praying over those students this week and preparing that lesson and preparing that sermon. Why? You've given yourself to it. Visitors showing up to church will mean more to you when you know that you have given time to invite folks to church. By the way, whether they're your visitors or not, it's just like, man, we went after the ones we didn't get, and God gave us the ones that we didn't go after. But you sit around long enough, and you don't give to anything. Well, he better bless me today. I promise you, I'm not going to. No one else is going to. Because until you start getting your heart back into it, you're impossible. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So number one, how do we get our heart back into the things of God? Give to it. Maybe you're busy for the Lord, but here lately it's kind of, man, I need to take a break. Bible says to change your heart, give more to it. Isn't that crazy? That's what the Bible teaches. Give to it. Number two, if you want to get your heart into the things of God, number two, get involved in it. Get involved in it. When you know that you've knocked the door, when you know that you've invited the writer, when you know that you wrote a missions check, when you know that you gave the gospel in children's church and a child got saved, when you know that a name is brought up here and the name is read and a young person got saved and you're the one that drove the bus and picked up the child and you didn't teach them, you didn't preach to them, but you got up and you drove safely and you got them here and then they sat in church and they got saved and then one day you get to watch them get baptized. You sit back with a heart full of joy. Why? Because you're invested in it. I refuse in just a couple of weeks, two weeks from now will be my 18th anniversary as pastor. I'll start my 19th year. I refuse to let our church become a social club. I refuse to let our church become a cold, dead Southern Baptist or Methodist church where it's just walk in, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. And back to the world. I refuse to let it. Folks, we're to stay busy. God said in His Word, redeeming the time. Hey, do you love what Jesus loves? Do you love your grandkids? Sure. Do you love your kids? Sure. Do you love your job? Well, I hope you do. You ought to. And do you love your hobbies? Great. Yes. We got to get back to loving what Jesus loves. If you want to get your heart into the things of God, number one, give to it. Number two, get involved in it. And then look at Matthew chapter 9 with me, if you would. If you're there in Matthew chapter 6, look at Matthew chapter number 9. Folks, there's something for everyone. Something. Some of you are nice as can be. You're outgoing. I'm not. I'm Mr. Grumpy. My two brothers are outgoing. I'm ingoing. If I'm outgoing, it means I'm leaving the crowd. I'm outgoing from this noise. I'm not the most outgoing, but some of you are. I think of guys like Brother Barker and Brother Hallmark who, man, they're just kind. They're just nice people. You talk to them. It's like, man, it was just refreshing to talk to them. You know that our doors out there, we got fancy now. That second door hasn't worked since I started pastoring that second glass door. You know both of those doors work out there now. We could be a growing church and still get into church. Both of those doors work. You know what that means? That means we need two door greeters. Amen. Just doing something. Just doing, what are you doing to help get people saved? Give to it. Get involved in it. Look at Matthew chapter number 9. The Bible says in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Number three, if we're going to love what Jesus loves, let me encourage you to do this. Go see it. Go see it. Hey, give to it. You say, I don't have the energy anymore. I can't get on those bouncing buses. God knows what you have and don't have. But I tell you what we all have. Look right here at this. You say, oh, no, I don't. You can buy a $6 pack of cigarettes. You're getting money from somewhere. I had a fellow stop by and ask me for money after church last week. And then while I was getting him some grocery money, lit up a brand new cigarette right in front of me. The arrogance. You say, oh, I don't have the money for bus ministry. If I got the money to go buy a $5 arrow or a $10 arrow, $60 box of six arrows, I can't do that without knowing I'm investing in what God loves. Hey, give to it. Number two, get involved in it. Friend, you never know what your work is going to accomplish. You never know what your work is going to accomplish. I'm not a big reminiscent type of guy because my memory is so horrible. My older brother is. He'll tell all kinds of stories. And once they bring the story up, I'll think, I do remember that. But I remember years ago when this place didn't look anything like this. As a boy growing up in church, I remember back here in a little room back here, Brother Tommy Fain. I remember Tommy Fain teaching me in Sunday school. Because we were in the book of Luke for like 5 years. And we would have a good time. He'd read a little bit. He'd look up, smile. He'd talk to you. And he'd read a little bit more. And friend, listen, I'm just saying to you, so you can either blame him or not. But now I'm pastoring the church all of these years. I'm telling you, your work matters. It matters. That lady that went home to be the Lord from the nursing home, your work mattered in her life. Till the day that she died. Those little boys, little girls back there that walk into your Sunday school classroom, it matters to them. It's going to matter in their life, the foundation that you laid. Brother Miss Honey's kind of shut in. Brother Honey went home to be with the Lord now a few years ago. But she laid a foundation in my daughter's life and in many of the young people in here in their life. And she can't do it anymore. But she laid it. She did what she could while she could. What are you doing? Name one thing. I'm not being ugly. I'm saying seriously, in your mind, name one thing you're doing that you say, you know what? I believe that's helping the cause of Christ. Give to it. Get involved in it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then the third one was, go and see it. What did Jeremiah say in the book of Lamentations? Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Well, I can't give to the bus ministry. Really, but you can buy those monster drinks. I don't have another dollar. Some of you need to get right about your tithe. That's God's, period. That's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. The Bible says there is a curse on your finances if you're not tithing. But God says, if you will tithe, I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, you'll not have room to receive it. We think those are money bags instead of just happiness and peace and being in the will of God and kids that love the Lord and friends that love the Lord. Let's give to it. Let's get involved in it. But hey, go see it. Go see it. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was standing in the foyer this morning. If it hadn't happened, it'll probably happen after church. I'm standing in the foyer. I might near got run over by some kid coming down the steps. And I'm for kids acting right, and I will watch them and try to, and have the workers watch them. But you know how those kids are, you know? They're all over the place. Let me ask you to do something one time. Ask one of these bus workers, can I go visit with you next Saturday? One time. Before you go home to your warm little brick house, go one time and see what some of these young people live in. See what some of these adults live in. See what some, I want to say it kindly, but see what some live with. It's worth it. I like to hunt, but I can give up a few dollars a month to keep the buses rolling. Hey, go one time on a missions trip. Go one time to the nursing home. You've never been to a nursing home until you've stood up there singing and had some old person stick their tongue out at you. Brother Glenn, Uncle Glenn up in Arkansas there, my friend, his grandpa lived, I think, to be in his 90s. He passed away here recently, last few months. He stayed out of a nursing home, but really he did that because of Glenn and Glenda taking care of him. But old Glenn would pick him up and take him to church. He couldn't hear, he couldn't see, he could nothing. But boy, if he didn't like your singing, he'd let you know. And somebody would sing, and he'd say, a little bitty church, just a few pew, little bitty building. And he'd let him say, Glenn, I'm glad that's over with. I've preached there before, and he's looking at that clock like he can see it. And I said, man, I got 12 people each Sunday morning that do that. Go to the nursing home one time and just see what a blessing you are when you go grab someone's wheelchair, help them push down the hall. Get out here after church and stand in the foyer instead of rushing out. Shake hands with the folks as they get back on the bus. Get in your vehicle and just go out and drive around the city and see and say, God, give me spiritual eyes to see more than just people that annoy me or cultures or Democrat and Republican. Let me just go out here and see. And you'll go, my goodness, Will's Point's a small town, but there's a lot of people that need Jesus as Savior. And let God move upon your heart to begin to love what He loves. 2019 is about to crank up here soon. We're not far from it. Why don't you decide, ending one year, going into another year, I'm going to find something consistently that I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have hobbies. I have family. I have a job. I have things I like to do. I've got a yard. And I've got a home. And I've got a truck. And I've got this. And I've got that. But I want there to be something. Something. Something I do. To where, if I'm not there, I've got to let the pastor know I'm not going to be there because there's a responsibility I have to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ through my local church. So our prayer should not be a prayer of begging God, oh God, give me a heart. Give me a heart like yours. No, our prayer should be one of commitment. Lord, I will give. I will get involved. I will go and see. Why? Because it's not about praying it in. It's about where your treasure is. There will your heart be also. How many times have you found yourself, this could happen to any of us, how many times have you found yourself missing a church service, and then you had the flu or whatever, so you missed another one, and then another one, and then another one. And then before long, something you never did before comes very easily, just not going. And we miss another service. How many ministries have we been involved in and we were faithful and we were there and it was a good thing and we got to a place where we took a break for a little while and now it's pretty much nothing except that boring life of making a paycheck, paying bills, do what we want. That selfish living will never amount to joy and happiness. Jesus said, I want you to love what I love. I've given you richly all things to enjoy. I want you to enjoy your home and enjoy your hunting and enjoy your Hallmark movies and enjoy that stuff. But would you please do something for the cause of Christ and do it faithfully and do it consistently? If you're here today and your heart's began to change a little bit, and maybe it's church, maybe it's giving, maybe it's working in some specific area, let me just remind you that formula where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't back off. Dive further in. And God says, I'll change your heart. It's going to take some time. You're in a place, in a zone, in a mode in your life. This is not the time to back out. This is not time to back off. This is time to get as committed as you ever have in your life. And you'll look up and you'll say, I'm glad I did, because I'm loving every minute of it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior, I pray that today will be the day you walk the aisle and get born again. We'll have altar workers. I think all of you have been here before, and we have altar workers. They'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Best decision you'll ever make in your life. Christians, let's get busy for Christ. Let's stay busy for Christ. Only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last.